Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and as per usual, I am recording from the great state of Florida, here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where our beaches are finally starting to be empty with all of the curfew and restrictions of the COVID-19 lockdown that we need to do down here. Got those freaking spring break kids out of here, and I'm so happy. Well, not that I was at the beach and unhappy, but just happy to not see them on the news anymore. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something that is going to be much more beneficial to your business. One of the things that I'm sure that you are having issues with is what to do with all of the electronic waste that we have going on. I know that I have gone back and forth with multiple companies when I bring back computers and servers that are just simply out of date. I've gone through at least three companies with the electronic recycling, and sometimes they're just not even really recyclers. They're just people who try to part out computers on their own and then sell stuff online. But I have somebody who I think is going to be a great benefit to a lot of you out there. I'm talking about Brooks Boland, and Brooks is the CEO of Minus Technology. Brooke, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. So I should probably ask you, I know that we met online through a mutual friend, but for the life of me, I can't remember who the mutual friend was.
It was Ben Sanders, who I think y'all had some relationships probably in the channel. When he works at a security company called Dichotic now. So I go back from our software days with them, a company called Unitrends.
Okay. All right. And yeah, so he saw what you guys were doing and thought it would be a great benefit to me and to see if we could help each other out. And I can say that, yes, it did help me out very much. And I think it's great to have you on to talk about it. So why don't we talk about, you had mentioned before who you were with, your company now, Minus Technology, but you took a little bit of a different route to get here. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so my background is in finance, and I started working for a company called Unitrends Backup, DR company, purely software, deploys on hardware, which means they don't make their own servers. So you have to use a contract manufacturer. With that, their engineers need servers to test with. So they were spending seven figures and up just on buying brand new servers that were deployed on-prem and testing their software. Long story short, I turned it into a huge call savings. Everything that came out of the field from a hardware refreshes and things like that, we'd bring them in, make sure the data was wiped to a certain standard, whether it be DoD or HIPAA, and then feed those newly wiped servers to the engineers, which then saved millions in call savings for the company.
Okay.
So that's what triggered my brain into the whole hardware side of everything.
All right. And when did you exactly start Minos Technology?
2014.
Okay. All right. And now, did you start out to be, you know, purely tech or MSP at the time? How did that go?
No, it's I purely went to a focus on hardware or software companies that deploy on hardware. So like your Arc Serves, your Infrascales, I rarely put a heavy focus in DR because none of these companies make their own servers. They use contract manufacturers, which I had a lot of insight to. And then 2 years ago, I started getting really heavily involved with data centers and colos. So today we support around 100 data centers across the world in their refresh needs. And then the fastest growing space, I would say now, is the MSP side.
Okay. So it sounds like you are starting to run across a lot of companies like me who, you know, we get a lot of our equipment back. We've got to certify, wipe it. Some of us don't really have the true Certify software or even hardware, and you have found a little niche to get into.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So why don't we, so let's talk about, so data disposal as a service. So that's what you're calling it. Yes. Is that your term or was that out there and you've adopted it? Because I don't think I've heard that before.
No, I'll come in from the backup side. You've probably heard of DRAS.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was a lot of the product managers coming up with offerings around DRAS and cloud and DR. So I'm out of that game now and I'm in my own IT disposal side. So I was like, you know, I tried to brand this year with the year of the DRAS because I'm doing a lot of shows like DattoCon, ConnectWise, things like that, which are getting pushed due to the situation. But hopefully COVID's not going to take over my branding this year and it's going to allow me to go to trade shows and market that term.
All right. So let's kind of go back and talk about, I guess, the process because, mm-hmm. like I said, for the most part, companies like mine will, you know, as our customers upgrade or get a network refresh, we'll bring back all their equipment and it either sits in our office or goes to the dump or, you know, a local recycler. For instance, down here, I finally, after years of taking it to a place myself because they wouldn't come pick up, I found somebody to come and get it for me. And of course, you know, there's a fee for them to come on site and they were really restrictive on what they would take. So the process for what you would do is what?
So our motto is we take everything. I don't want to leave it open for a competitor to come in. Our facility is 20,000 square feet. We are, by May 14th, we should be R2 certified, which is the highest certification comboed with ISO 14001, which means basically we just can handle e-waste to a certain standard. So monitors, so there's not really something we don't take. We have to be able to figure out what to do with it downstream.
Okay, so unlike the other companies who claim to e-recycle and don't, you actually do?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So yep. All these monitors that I've got sitting around, you'll pick up?
Yes, I'm selling monitors right now every day online because everyone's going remote. So that's a very hot item right now.
Okay. Now you mentioned online. So sounds like there's a potential revenue stream here for you, right?
Yes, you and MSP.
Okay. So we can make money. All right.
Right. That's the whole goal of this. There's two ways, which I'm trying to teach MSPs to go to market with this. With the data disposal as a service, typically when you hear as a service, you think of recurring revenue. So it is our job, my job, and my company's job is to show the MSP how to enable them to charge for data removal. And we are the engine behind the scenes doing all the work. So you don't have the infrastructure to where you can test wipe, you know, hundreds of drives at a time, but we do. So some of our MSPs are charging during a refresh, whether it be a refresh fee of X or per drive, and then charging that back to the customer. We get the hardware, we wipe it to the customer standard, whether they're HIPAA compliant, SOX compliant, and then we show proof of deletion certificates, which we can pass through to the MSP, which they can pass through to the client and charge for that.
Okay, so that makes a little bit of a turnaround for us. So when we get you the drives, so you will actually, do we have to like pull them out of the computers and do an inventory ourselves or what do we do?
So the biggest, every MSP that I go to or even data center or even colo, we always have to create a process for the company because an MSP might try to upsell or sell $20,000 worth of security to a company, but the company might have 30 computers locked in a room because they're afraid to do anything with them.
Okay.
So first step is, one, identify their client base. Are they financial firms? Are they hospitals? That's going to tell us on how we have to remove the data to a certain standard, which is all documented in a statement of work. Two, I say, okay, what's your infrastructure look like? Because we have what I call these, if you can support a pallet, 40, like a 4-foot pallet, I can send you a box, which all you have to do is just put the hardware in the box. And then when it's full, there's a lid that comes with it. It sits on top. I'll dispatch, or we will dispatch freight, pick up from your location, receive it in, no cost to you at all. So we almost have to create a process, return process, for each individual MSP.
All right.
That's what.
So you mentioned dispatch. So let me go ahead and get the question out of the way of where are you and how far will you travel to get a pallet?
So we have locations and sales reps all over the United States. We are in North Carolina to Florida every month. However, we have pickups all the way in like LA. We support a lot of colos in LA. So freight right now is really cheap. We probably get in around 100 to 150 pallets a month. So we have a really deep discounted freight LTL rate. So we can pick up pallets anywhere in the US.
Okay. So you said you get in how many pallets?
Anywhere between 100 and 150 a month.
Okay. So when you were down here to pick up my little measly one pallet,
one pallet's good. I mean, that's the beauty about this. Whether you're a small MSP or whether you're a very large person where you're going through hundreds of computers a month, what happens is you get assigned a sales rep once a month to reach out to you. Do you have a pickup? Yes, no, move on. You won't hear from us again in an entire month. But I think it's very important just to touch the MSP every month. And that way you're not having to use multiple vendors. You're not having to drive somewhere to drop off things to a recycler. You know, it's just a little small little thing sitting in your office. You just drop it into when it's full, call us, email us, and we'll schedule it from there.
Okay. So I know that, you know, it's a joke that, you know, my little measly pallet. But when we were doing this, there's a data center. Well, actually, there's three data centers down the road from me. So it was something that was easy for you to say, yeah, I've already got a truck coming to pick up this data center. We'll just squeeze your stuff in. So that was great.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We are in the Tampa, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I would love to be able to move to the beach in 3 years from South Carolina to Florida. So I really like that area.
You better hurry if you want to come here. Our land is going fast.
No, I know. We have family property in Naples, so we're there every 3 months.
That's the other coast.
Yeah.
That's the white sand, the lazy sand, the sunset watching sand.
Yeah, it's a little more slower paced over there, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. And so in terms of a revenue stream for the MSP, how does that necessarily work? So, you know, obviously you come and pick up the stuff, and then how do we make money after that in terms of a revenue stream?
So it's 30% on the gross sales price. So typical, I don't like to consider ourselves a liquidation shop at all, because someone might come in, get your stuff, and then they just wholesale it out to someone on pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Not our model at all. We're doing seven figures online, Amazon, eBay, selling in to a lot of data centers. I would say 20% of our sales are online. The rest come directly through data centers because we actually help them with their buying. So you're going to get a lot more value that way. And then once a month, we say, okay, customer, we sold X product of yours. Here's a check for Y. And that's 30% on the gross. So the fees, logistics, all that stuff, that's not, you know, we don't charge back anything like that. So it's very simple. We have very sophisticated software which tracks the logistics of, one, where the property came from, where the hard drives came from, how they're wiped, where they went to, and then the property which gets sold, whether what online, through PayPal or whatever, we track all that. We have custom software, custom developers working on all that.
All right. And for the MSP that's listening and saying, you know what, I can do that myself. I can strip the stuff. I can throw it on eBay. What's the advantage of using you over trying to do it ourselves?
I would say that you're going to piggyback off our almost 10 years of book of business. So by the end of this year, we'll probably have around 500 MSPs on top of over 100 data centers that buy and sell from us. So it's a lot of transactions. Big book of business, and it's just going to be very simple. And on top of that, the transfer of liability on the data side, which most people don't want to have to deal with.
That is true. That is true. And I can tell you this. For me, it was so nice to just say, you come pick it up, you take care of everything, and let me know when it's done.
Right.
So, beautiful. Now, doing my research a while back, I came across the fact that you mentioned the custom software. You were involved in a software package that really, what's the right phrase I'm looking for? Really helped with this online selling, right?
Yes. It's how we really acquired. You'd be surprised. I have Fortune 500 companies that I've gotten through a $10 eBay transaction because their IT staff needed an end-of-life part, and they bought from us on eBay. And then we have salespeople that call them and thank them and then get their older gear and get them in the contract. So That's what the software is around.
So in terms of, this side of business here, were you big in eBay before?
Yes. Yeah, when we first started, we were 100% eBay. So, we were doing 400, 500 transactions a month, and that's all we were doing in the business. I quickly realized that we needed to, a lot of eBay and Amazon people, they just pray that people just come to their storefront and buy. I was like, we need to diversify because the way that we get product back then, we could get an 18-wheeler load of servers in, and in 30 days, we owed on it. So we quickly started data mining all these transactions and calling people and then realizing it's a lot of business people buying from us. And then we just took them and started selling directly to them.
Okay. Now, on the other side of that, do you want people like me and the listeners to actually be able to go to your eBay website and look for stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I guess, so I've got a link here because I've seen it because we've talked about this and all that stuff, but I'll put a link in the show notes, and on the eBay, there is a Minus Technology store, and it's got a ton of stuff on there. Everything from adapters, motherboards, computer screens, hard drives. Oh, wait, SSD for $22.99.
Oh, that might be a mistake. Yeah, I do not run the online piece. I am the way it's – so we're about 20 employees.
Okay.
My wife runs e-commerce side. We have shippers that come in from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., ship what's sold the previous day. She manages those people. I manage the B2B wholesale side, so – the other employees report to me. They are mainly on the sales side or on the breakdown operation side in the warehouse. So that's kind of my piece. So you see something for $22 and you think it's cheaper than what it should be, go for it. I'll have a good conversation tonight over dinner. Just
kidding. I don't want to get her in trouble now because listen, I know what it's like to work with the wife. So
trust me, she never gets in trouble. Just go for it.
You might want to let that go.
I know, right? I won't even look at it. I'll look at the transaction. But, yeah, we do have people every day going in and looking at what's sold in that previous day and calling them, thanking them. You'd be surprised. People are like, wow, I bought this online, and you're actually calling me and thanking me. Fuji Film, old Polaroid cameras back in the day. They're now huge in IoT. Got them because they purchased from eBay. So we do have 5 publicly traded companies that we deal with. So that's another niche of ours, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You talked about, end of life stuff. This is a great resource for people that, when you need something, it doesn't matter where it comes from sometimes. Right. Is that a dog there?
Shouldn't be.
That sounded like a dog in the background.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. So lots of stuff on here, power supplies, graphic cards, fans, CPUs, all this stuff, t-shirts. Wait a minute. There's a t-shirts category.
It's another clothing contract. Never try to sell clothing online. It's my wife's contract that she deals with. She tries to help local high school girls have something to do and teach them the online game.
Uh-huh.
So we have this contract with New Clothing. So she, the high school girls of the community come over, that she shows them how to take photos, lists, and that way they can make side money and not have to work for $10 an hour. So that's what that is.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
a little side gig.
Tell your wife congratulations and thank her for trying to do her duty in helping out the young people. I like that.
That's right.
Okay. All right. See, not so bad. So now you can don't bust on her for that $22 SSD.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about the process to get started. For so people listening, I can have a link on where to go on your website to click. But what happens once they do that?
So that's going to be a submission form, which then hits our queue. And then a sales rep from this, I'll probably contact you directly. And then just ask a few questions. One, where are you? Two, how often does product accumulate? What kind of customer base? Once we feel like it's a good fit and going forward, we do a statement of work, which doesn't bind the MSP to anything. It just binds us to really two things, paying you within a certain time frame and wiping the data to meet the standard that we agreed upon. Typical would be DoD level, 3-pass wipe, but you can say, you know, I have these certain clients that need 7-pass. I just want to go ahead and put that in the statement of work. And that way, when the product is received in, whether it be freight or directly we pick it up, our operations teams knows, oh, it came from this person. They can go back to the contract, look at that, and know exactly what to do with it from there on.
Okay. Sounds simple enough and easy enough, and everything is taken care of from A to Z. Beautiful. All right. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about or something that you thought may be pertinent that we didn't cover?
One thing that I was working on kind of this morning is like really what is the ROI of a refresh?
Mm-hmm.
So we can deploy bins in really three fashions. One, the biggest scale would be a pallet size, 40 by 45 by like 4 feet tall. And let's say in that Gaylord, which is that has all corrugated sides on it, box, you can fit around 50 Optiplex chassis in it.
Okay.
And let's say the chassis has typically Optiplex like 7-8. It's kind of a big body chassis, but it might have, let's say, a 1 terabyte hard drive, 8 gigs of RAM, i5 processor. So people, what might be scrapped to somebody, an i5 processor, we're getting around $45 for. 1 terabyte hard drive, we're getting $14 for. And then the memory is probably worth another $17 or $18. So a full pallet of that, of 50 of them, is really to the MSP worth around $700 for a refresh. So I just, some MSPs might be like, I don't get enough. But when you really start adding it up, you know, it's worth a good amount of money because we're not scrapping this stuff for a buck a stick. You know, we're selling it to data centers too. We're paying $14-15 per terabyte for this, or contract manufacturers that are paying higher prices per gig on memory to build their servers with. The lowest scale I would say would just be our 24 by 24 box. And let's say there's no servers in that or desktops, but it might be 26 of RAM, maybe some SSDs of that nature. You know, it still could be worth $200-300
right,
to the MSP. For just literally putting in a box, saying the box is full, you know, and then we send you a label, done deal. That's all you got to do.
Well, that is certainly worth it when you consider, and I'm going to use myself as an example. So when I would try to do this, there's way too much time involved in opening up those systems, pulling out the parts, putting the systems back together, putting them in one area for pickup, staging the stuff somewhere else so that I could go back and figure out what is it. I got to list it. That's time to, you know, put it on one of these sites or try to sell it on, you know, Craigslist or eBay or whatever. And then I got to spend the time managing the listings. And for the stuff that gets picked up, you know, I got to pay to have it picked up and I get nothing.
Right.
So
yep.
This This is a whole lot easier and a whole lot less time for us. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we started out with data centers first, because our pricing model, we can absorb that. If we started out with MSPs and individually going places picking out, we probably would have done that same thing and picked it up, charged, and you make really no money on it. But 7 years has gone by. We have, you know, ton of people that we're doing procurement for, you know, open POs that we can bill against. So it really makes it more cost effective that way.
All right. And if you guys want to go and support the little girls of, did you say North Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. That's what I thought. I thought it was South Carolina. Yeah. Why are all these Philly shirts on here, though? Philly?
They make clothing for, they make a lot of clothing for athletics.
Oh, okay.
So basketball, I mean, football, baseball, everything.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
There's a ton of Philly stuff on here.
Ton of clothing.
All right.
Yeah. But
well, Brooks.
But stick to the servers, though.
Yeah. Guys, yeah. Anybody listening as a tech, go to the things like the servers and computers and drives. That's where you want to be. So.
Yeah. And we really are heavy into Supermicro, Dell, and HP. So we get in, I would say, around 500 Supermicro servers a month. Around 300 Dell and around 500 HP. That's on a server base, not including desktop space.
I contributed to that HP server last month, so.
Yes, and even Rails. Rails worth a lot of money. So people might think they're scrap value, but sometimes the most valuable thing of any server is the Rails, especially like R710, you know, Dells. I might be able to sell the chassis for 10, 20 bucks, 30 bucks, it's so old, but the rail kits are worth 50, 60 bucks.
So, okay, there's a question, because how many times, I know there are times where I've walked into server rooms and the rails are simply left in the rack because people are lazy. So is that what happens in these, you get stuff from data centers, and because somebody like me goes into a place, we're taking over a rack mount server and we go to stick it in a rack, we don't have the rails, so there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, that's one of our biggest moving items is rail kits. Just because, especially on end-of-life stuff, because there's so many assets out there deployed to that old stuff, and they break because they're getting older. Or they're moving them around like that, and now you need a rail kit. So the big things right now moving, if you have, you know, 19-inch monitors, there's no, because you got to sometimes pay to dispose of that stuff,
right.
The monitors.
Right.
Typically around 25 cents per pound, but we have buyers that are paying 15 bucks a monitor, and we're getting, you know, 40, 50, 60 monitors to us into a box. So $800 a pallet for some old monitors. And we sell a lot of those to just IT shops that have storefronts. When people are trying to go remote because of the big surge right now, they're paying premium dollar. Chromebooks just sold 700 Chromebooks that I couldn't sell for the past year, and all of a sudden COVID hit, and now it's, you know, we need them.
Oh, that's right. And you sold all 700
for parts only. Yeah, because I had to take the chips out because most Chromebooks are locked by the system administrator, the school.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to debrand it, take the card out, which registers the school's domain and all that good stuff. So we still sold them for I think it was $37 as parts only.
Wow.
Yeah, good order.
Yeah,
that went back to an MSP because the MSP supported the school.
Sweet.
They did the refresh. So they made thousands of dollars just for that one thing.
Nice. All right. I'm going to go grab up some more stuff and get it to you. So next month, be ready.
There we go. Back in Florida.
All right, Brooks, I want to say thank you for coming on. I want to say definitely thank you for everything that you and I've done in the last, what's it been, 2 months that we've been talking and set up the process and everything?
Yep.
And worked out great, and I'll be looking for my big check soon.
All right, my friend.
Okay. So everybody, Brooks Bolin, CEO of Minus Technology in South Carolina, soon to be Florida, at a beach near you. And I want to thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing to the show. I will be back real soon with more great episodes with great tech stories and news and vendors. And enjoy yourselves a night and weekend. Oh, I should probably have said this earlier. So I did not watch the Star Wars holiday special last week because I got stuck watching Peyton Places with the wife. But the Star Wars holiday special is on my watch list for this upcoming weekend, along with Tiger King. So if you guys have watched those and have some comments, be sure to send those to me. And I will have Tom and some other people on to, I guess we'll have a movie watch party discussion about those. And that'll be coming up soon. But until then, be watching out or listening for the next episode. And until then, holla.